Welcome to the Celebration Church podcast. We hope you enjoy this message and learn more about God, life, and you. If you're interested in knowing more about Celebration Church, you can visit our website at celebrationedmonton.com and follow us on Instagram at celebrationedm. Enjoy this message.
Well, I want to get into our message today that we have titled GQ. GQ. And I better pray because I'm already off track. Jesus, thank you for your word. Let it change our lives. We set our attention to that and we open our hearts and we say, make us better, God, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You know, thankfulness is something that we're taught by our parents, that parents are teaching kids. I mean, we do it all the time. You know, say thank you, thank you. You know, we do that kind of stuff. And it's just something that we've considered to be manners. Many times, that's just sort of the approach to it. But I want to kind of look at a different angle of it and a different understanding of it today and how it affects us, that it's more than just being a nice person. It's more than just being a good person. It's more than just manners, but that it actually has a greater effect on your life than that. The book of Timothy, 2 Timothy, warns us that actually as society becomes more godless, that things like Thanksgiving will become forgotten. Saying thank you, being appreciative, will be forgotten. Why? Because what was once seen as a blessing that God has provided in our life now becomes privilege, now becomes like, well, entitlement. I should have this after all. And what used to be I would appreciate becomes I deserve, or I expect, or I earned this. And I think that one of the disappointing factors about this weekend is that people will be thankful and think that all of their thankfulness and gratitude should be directed horizontally, and that they stop there and don't realize that everything that is happening horizontally in your life with relationships and circumstances is actually started vertically, that God put that into your world. And God created that and orchestrated that, and that's where our true gratitude needs to go as well. And it's just bizarre that people would be, oh, I'm super thankful, but not really be connected to the one that they should be thankful to. Colossians chapter 2 and verse 7 says this, let your lives overflow with thanksgiving for all that he has done. Overflow with thanksgiving for all that he has done. In other words, don't be blind to the fact that God is doing some things in your world. Now we have a number of things that we look at in people's lives. They're looked at sometimes in the context of leadership or psychology or whatever. And we have initials for them. We have things like IQ, where we look at somebody's intelligence quotient. We have EQ, we look at their emotional quotient, how much they can handle of emotional stress in life. Their AQ, their attitude quotient. But today, I want to talk to you about your GQ, your gratitude quotient. And now you're all feeling relieved that I explained the title to the message, wondering, where's this guy going? My gosh. GQ, you and I have a gratitude quotient. The scripture tells us your quotient should be so full, it overflows. That's what the scripture says. In other words, you shouldn't be going around with like trying to squeeze a little gratitude out, like that little last bit of toothpaste that you have, that's what you do. I know there are people that will throw it out and say, well, I got another one. But a lot of us, we're squeezing that last. Well, God says that's not what your thankfulness should look like. It should just look like something that just overflows out of you all the time for all that God is doing. What happens when our GQ is overflowing? How does that affect our lives? Beyond being just simply having, good manners, there's more that happens in our world when our GQ is overflowing. And I want to look at that. Number one in your notes as we walk through this. First of all, being grateful keeps my perspective in life on the big picture. Being grateful keeps my perspective in life on the big picture. When our lives get into tunnel vision, when all we see is ourselves and our problems, and we don't see anything else and we don't see anyone else, our lives can just become so small world. You know, just it's about me and here's my struggles. That's all I see about my life is I just see my challenges that I'm facing. Well, there's a story in the scriptures about a prophet by the name of Elijah. And Elijah got discouraged. He had gone through, you know, a whole bunch of things in his world. And he starts to complain to God because, you know, he's gone through all these situations. And now he's hiding from someone who wants to kill him. And in the midst of his complaining, he begins to tell God how he feels about his life and how he sees his life. And here's what he says in 1 Kings 19:10. Says, so he said, I have been very zealous for the Lord God of hosts. When you have to brag about yourself, there's something wrong. Okay, moving right along. For the children of Israel have forsaken your covenant. They tore down your altars and they killed your prophets with the sword. I alone am left and they seek to take my life. He says, I alone am left. It's just me, God. I'm like the only guy. I'm zealous for you and I'm all alone. I'm in a category of one. I'm by myself. Well, you see, that's what happens when you get depressed and discouraged and all you're thinking about is your problems and your worries and your cares. You begin to get so narrow. You begin to get so tunnel vision. You begin to get so limited in your thinking that you can't even see what's really going on around you. You just miss out on it. Why? Well, all you see is it's just me and my problems. That's all there is in life. And when you stop looking at a bigger picture, when you stop seeing the big picture, that's what life becomes to you. It's just me and my problems. I got so much to do. I got so many responsibilities. I got bills to pay. I've got kids to raise. I've got problems with work, family, neighbors. There's no one like me when it comes to troubles in life. I'm in a category all by myself. The problem is that what you do is you've actually cut out much of what's going on in your life. And you've narrowed the picture down just to the troubles, just to the troubles. And this is what's going on inside of Elijah, is he's just narrowed down to the troubles. In 1 Kings 19:18, he says, yet I have reserved. This is God speaking back to Elijah about the reality of his circumstance. He says, I've reserved 7,000 in Israel, all whose knees have not bowed to Baal. In other words, they haven't fallen into idol worship. And every mouth that has not kissed him. I've got 7,000. How can you possibly be a prophet of God and not notice that there are 7,000 other people also serving him and think you're all by yourself? Well, that's what happens when you focus down on your problems and here's what's bothering me and I'm not seeing a bigger picture and this is what I've become. Elijah got tunnel vision. And it blinded him to the fact that there was a whole lot more going on in his life that God had to remind him about. And when we go to complaining and somehow thinking, oh, my life is just all about my problems, we can overlook the 7,000 other great things that are going on in your world. Because there's something about when we start focusing on the negative. You ever notice that when you're discouraged and you're disappointed and you're down, that you physically will literally take on that manner. You just kind of head down. You know, people that are just all wrapped up in their problems are just head down. And it's like you don't have your head up to see what's really going on in your world. That even though you may have some pressing issues and problems and struggles, there's actually a much bigger picture of what's happening around you. Gratitude for all that God has done might have helped Elijah to have a head up posture, to see something bigger than just the fact that he had this one person who wanted to kill him, but there was so much more else going on for him. But once you got that head down posture, you know, this loneliness or aloneness can be the perception of your life when it's actually not the real experience that you're living in. And when we perceive that we are alone, it brings this feeling of isolation and defeat and yet choosing gratitude. could open his eyes up to see a bigger picture. Like just to, for him just to stop for a moment and go, hold it. What have I really just been through? I mean, I'm exhausted right now. I'm tired right now. But I need to acknowledge that's probably why I'm not thinking straight. But what have I really been through? Elijah, just a little bit before this moment in his life, had actually raised a woman's son back to life from the dead. He had challenged the false prophets of idol worship of Baal, and he won the challenge. He called down fire, not just on an offering with this ox on here, let's have a barbecue, but he actually put the wood around it and had them soak it with water so that they would know this only God could do this, and the fire absolutely consumed everything, including the water. So he has this miracle demonstration of the power of God. God protected him from Jezebel, who wanted him dead. He prophesied that rain was coming to a land that was in drought. And then when he had to take off, he outran a man on a horse. The guy is buff, you know what I'm saying? I mean, he outran a man on a horse. He has all of this stuff going for him. And then he ends up in this little corner going, oh God, life sucks. You know what? We do the same. We can have a whole bunch of stuff going for us and things that God has done in our life. But if we just focus down on what we're dealing with in that moment, we can be telling God how life sucks when it's like, no, you just lost sight of the bigger picture. Yeah. If we can just stop and thank God for all that he has done in our lives, then maybe our perspective can be a lot more accurate and much bigger. That it's not all bad. It's not all over. There's hope. There's help. You're not alone. And that you've got past successes and you're going to have future ones as well. Yeah. Stay thankful so that you keep seeing the big picture. Yeah. Don't think, oh, I'm in trouble right now. That's just part of a chapter of a whole book. That is your life. And if all you do is focus on these few pages, you'll live in discouragement and despair. But if you can step back and thank God for all that he has done in your life, you can live with a bigger picture. I'm preaching real good. I hope you're listening real good. Number two, being grateful is what keeps my attitude set right. Being grateful just keeps my attitude set right. There's nothing more annoying than I think people that get somewhere in life and then think it was all about them. I think that that's very, very narrow in our thinking. The self-made man is a figment of their imagination. The day that you were born, you were already in debt for 9 months of room and board. I just heard a mom say, that's very true. I think she's going to try and collect from her one-year-old later on today. Your parents, good, bad, or anything in between, took care of you till you could take care of yourself. And if they didn't, somebody else did. The smarts and the skills that you have developed came with input from others. The opportunities in life that you have experienced, career or otherwise, are because somebody gave you a chance. Right. Somebody gave you a chance. Right. Husbands, you should turn to your wife and say, thank you for giving me a chance. Even the positions or promotions that we accomplish in life, these involve others who are willing to believe in us and give us opportunity. When we acknowledge others, we rightfully share the blessings of our success. This is what David did when he went to war. And of course, part of the tradition of going to war was when you win, you get everything. You it's Lotto 649, baby. We take it all. We these are the spoils of war. And so he goes, he wins, he brings it all back. And then there's this discussion of, well, who's going to get what? And part of the deal was that there were people that went to battle, but there were people that stayed back intentionally to take care of their belongings, to take care of their stuff. The baggage watchers, they called them. And 1 Samuel 30:24 says, "Who would listen to you in this matter? For the share of the one who goes down into the battle shall be the same as the share of the one who stays by the baggage. They shall share alike." David was saying, listen, don't just take all the credit. Don't think you won this and it's all about you. There were some other people involved who are helping you, who are around you, and you need to give them as much honor as what's coming on to you and recognize them. And this is what David's talking about here and telling his warriors. His gratitude needed to be not just towards those who went to battle, but those who took care of things. I heard about a picture, so I looked it up on the internet of a turtle. And there's a caption that goes with this that says something to the effect of, when you look at a photo like this, there is one thing for certain, he didn't get there by himself. And I think maybe that's a good image that we need to carry about our lives, that we didn't get there by ourselves. And making sure that our attitude stays grateful to those around us who are making a difference in our life. Well, thankfulness also acknowledges not just the goodness of people in your life, but the goodness of God. The goodness of God. Deuteronomy chapter 8 and verse 10. It's a little bit lengthy portion, but I'm going to read it. We'll get right into this. Deuteronomy 10, starting in verse 8, says this. "When you have eaten and are satisfied, praise the Lord your God for the good that he has given you." So what he's saying here is, hey, be grateful, be thankful, take time to praise God, take time to say, thank you, God, for what you're doing in my life. Be careful that you do not forget the Lord your God, failing to observe his commands, his laws, his decrees that I'm giving you today. Now he goes into a twist here. He says, otherwise, in other words, if you're not grateful, when you eat and are satisfied, when you build fine houses and settle down. I love the way the scripture reads. It's so up to fine. That's a fine looking house you got. Fine houses and settle down. And when your herds and flocks grow large and your silver and gold increase and all that you have is multiplied. In other words, you're loaded. I mean, you're blessed. God's been doing some good things. Then this is the otherwise. This is, I forgot to thank God for what he did in my life. Then your heart will become proud. And you'll forget the Lord your God who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. I'll just pause here for a moment. This is obviously describing Israel. This is God talking to Israel and saying, man, I rescued you from being slaves. I brought you through the Red Sea. I went through the wilderness. I'm giving you this promised land. How do you forget that? And yet people can come out of their own slavery of sin or whatever they were caught up in, they can go through their wilderness and they can see God deliver them into a totally different life and forget. And forget. He led you through the vast and dreadful wilderness, thirsty waters in the land. It's, you know, venomous snakes and scorpions. He brought you water out of hard rock. He gave you manna to eat in the wilderness, something your ancestors never known, to humble and test you so that in the end, it might go well with you. And you may say to yourself, my power and the strength of my hands have produced this wealth for me. But remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you the ability to produce wealth. In other words, don't stop and be so, yeah, and I did it. Just remember that what you got in your life came from somewhere. And so confirms his covenant, which he swore to your ancestors as it is today. There's a God factor in your life that needs to be acknowledged. That there is much about your life that you did not choose. No person contributed to it. No, nobody put it there for you. They are qualities about your life, that even opportunities that have come into your life that are God orchestrated for you. Paul in the scriptures, he said this, I am what I am by the grace of God. By the grace of God. And when we understand that we are what we are by the grace of God, it keeps our attitude in a posture of humility so that we keep our connection and our walk with God strong because our attitude stays right. It stays right. I am what I am. These are not things that somebody gave me, somebody taught me, somebody. I can't look horizontally and solve everything about my life. Your personality, nobody chose that. God gave it to you. The fact that you are skilled in certain things and you find things easy in your life. There are certain things you do that I can just do. This is no big deal. It's just in you. How did it get in you? God gave it to you. God made you the way you are. He fashioned you, the Bible said, in your mother's womb. So God put those things inside of you, and you only have one person to thank on that, and that is God himself who put that inside of you. Here's the other side of this scripture, and that is this. The thankfulness keeps us in an attitude of faith towards God. That when we exercise thanksgiving and remember our past, we stay postured for our future. When we can remember answered prayers, provision, opportunity, providential appointments, things that, you know, we believe God for and they came to pass in our lives, our gratitude sets our heart attitude right when it comes to faith towards our future. I've experienced God do this in my past. I'm in a posture of faith towards my future. When we can remember those things, it does that to us. Our gratitude today is the foundation for our faith for our tomorrow. Come on. It is. Your gratitude today for what God has already done in your life is a foundation that you can build on of faith for your tomorrow. You know, that sometimes I feel like we come into the next thing in our life and we're like, oh man, I wonder what's going to happen. I hope I make it through. And we like forget that we already went through some things that we felt overwhelmed by, but we sought the Lord. Come on. And God answered and got us through that. And if he can get us through that, he can get us through this. You know, I just think about, you know, as a sort of an example of our church life and the life of celebration and our history. That it's been very much like that. That there came a time when there was an opportunity for our first building, and it was like overwhelming. I remember that during that season of time, there's a particular rock song that was going through my head all the time. And the lyrics go, all I need is a miracle. All I need is you. Yeah, you can turn it into a worship song. It's just easy. You just redirect the finger. Don't point it this way. And God gave us a miracle. And we ended up in that building and filled it and multiplied in that space. And then it was like, now we need another miracle. And we're praying, God, what are we going to do? And where do we go next? And, you know, and we're just walking through this time and season. And then I got to keep this short, but basically, we were the first people to walk onto the 99th Street property and to even know that it was for sale and put a contract in place before the realtor got a sign up.
That's right.
Yep. All I needed was a miracle. But God did a miracle because he's done it before. He just needed a different one with a bigger building. And then we came to a place where this isn't working anymore. We're too much. It's not enough. You want to reach more people. We need a bigger space. We need our next move. And before anybody knew that this would even go for sale, we're in an office shaking hands going, we're buying this off of you. And God did another miracle. And you should pause and write down the miracles that God's done in your life. And know that that is a foundation of faith for the next thing that you're going to be facing. Number three, our gratitude makes room for more. Our gratitude makes room for more. What we read about in the scriptures concerning gratitude is we also read about the opposite concerning complaining and people that were ungrateful. And that when that happened, when Israel was complaining and ungrateful, God was upset. And there's an understanding. It's not just like, okay, you guys are like being bad children with a terrible attitude right now, and you need to mind your manners. It's more than that, and that is this. Inside of complaining is no expectation for a better tomorrow, no faith towards God, and no trust for his work in our lives. You can't trust God and ask him in faith for anything while complaining at the same time. You're contradicting yourself. You're contradicting yourself. Your complaint does not count, by the way, as a prayer. Just I throw that out. Because your complaint is actually unbelief. Luke chapter 17 and verse 11 says this. And as he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. They lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And when he saw them, he said unto them, go show yourself unto the priests, which, by the way, you only did that if you'd experienced healing in your leprosy. You went to the priest, he confirmed that you were healed and allowed you to enter back into society rather than living in a leper colony. So here's Jesus telling them, just go show yourself to the priest. And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. Well, we could preach a whole message on that right there, because that was faith, wasn't it? I'm just going to believe that I'm ready to show myself to the priest because Jesus told me to go there. Oh, I better stay on target with this message. I'm tempted to get off track here, but I won't. They were cleansed. I want you to notice that word. Just circle it in your notes, mentally capture it, because there's a couple more words and then we're going to bring it together. One of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back with a loud voice, glorifying God, fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. And Jesus answered, said, were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? There are not found that return to give glory to God, save this stranger. And he said unto him, arise, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. Thy faith has made thee whole. All 10 lepers were healed. Only one of them returned to give thanks. And at his return, Jesus responds and gives him some things. First of all, he says, you know, your faith made you whole. He gave them the understanding of how he actually received from God in the first place. This was a product of your faith towards me. And then he gives them his acceptance back into society. He says, you can go your way now. You don't have to go to the priest. You're okay. It's cool with you. You can just go your way. Normally, he would have had to go to the priest to confirm that he was healed of his leprosy, but Jesus didn't send him to the priest. He just gives him his own acceptance and releases him. There are 3 words used in the scripture to describe what took place in their life. Cleansed, healed, and whole. Cleansed, healed, and whole. To be cleansed of the disease of leprosy means your skin clears up. You can't see it anymore. It's gone. It's all cleansed. It's been removed. I'm not seeing all the humps and the bumps and all that happens visually to myself. I'm healed. But leprosy is actually a nervous disease. And when people have leprosy, what happens is they lose their feeling. They lose their sensitivity. That's why they hurt themselves and damage themselves, is because they couldn't feel it. They burn themselves because they couldn't feel the heat in the first place. And so he says they were cleansed, but then he says this, they were healed. In other words, their sensitivity began to come back, started to feel again, started to have their nervous system being healed. But then the third word is this. He says to this fellow who comes back and is thankful, he says, you're made whole. You're made whole. If you know anything about leprosy, you know it's very common to have parts of their body that end up missing. Fingers that gnarl up and pieces of it that are gone. And Jesus turns to him and says, you're going to be made whole. The word whole literally means unhurt, and delivered. In other words, what could have stayed in your life and left you hurt? You're still missing fingers. Yeah, I used to have leprosy. I don't have my function of my hand the way I should because I used to be this way. And Jesus said, no, I'm going to deliver you. And I believe that the reason Jesus could tell this man, you're not going to need to go to the priest, is because those fingers had come back. That ear had grown back. Everything had come back into place. And there was absolutely no sign or indication of a disease that used to be on his life. Thankfulness keeps us in a place of receiving from God because there's more. The story is actually a picture of what happens in our life when we come to Christ. It's a story of how God changes us, that we come to him and we know that we've got sin in our life. We know that we need to be forgiven. We know that there's a God that we need to have a relationship with, all of those things. And so we reach out to him and we ask for him to forgive us and come into our lives. And the first thing he does is he cleanses us. He makes us right with God. He puts us in right position. But he doesn't want to stop there. He cleanses us, he removes the guilt, he removes the shame, removes the regret, all those things, and puts us in right standing with God. But the second thing he does is he heals us. He restores. The Bible says he takes out a heart of stone and he puts in a heart of flesh. And he's talking about the fact that God restores that heart that's been hard, that's been insensitive to God, that is just cold towards God. And now all of a sudden, I've got a new heart. I've got a new spirit about me. I am, the Bible says, I've been made one spirit with the Lord. I'm healed. I can sense God's presence. I can hear his voice when he speaks to me. I can feel the leading of the Holy Spirit in my life. Why? Because I've been healed. But then there's the third thing, and that is he wants us to be whole. That is to be free from the issues that could have come into your life through sin in your past. A freedom to experience joy. A freedom to live in peace. A freedom to walk away without fear dominating your life and all of those things. A freedom to be able to forgive and not carry, you know, a secret bitterness in your heart of something that's gone on in your past, someone who's offended and hurt you, and you still carry that. God says, no, I want you to be whole. I want people to be able to look at your life and not see the signs of the sins of the past, yours or somebody else's against you. And all this man had to do to receive from Jesus, it's very simple. He just went back and said, thank you. Thank you. But it was enough to place him where God could do something more in his life. And here's what I want to say to us. And that is, as long as you stay grateful to God for what he has done and recognizing what he's already done in your life, you're in the right place for him to do more in your life. That God is not done with you, but your gratitude sets you up for the next thing that he wants to bring into your life. Let's stand. Let's stand as we take time to pray. And I want to pray specifically for people that may be here that you know that you've yet to invite Christ into your life, to confess him as your Lord and Savior. And I want to give you an opportunity, a special opportunity right where you're standing, to talk to God and to allow Christ to change your life and to begin a relationship with Jesus. And just as we've talked about here, he wants to do all three of those things in your life. He wants to clean you. The Bible says that though your sins are as scarlet, like in other words, they're really super obvious, and he'll make them white as snow. They can be totally, totally erased and dealt with in a moment because of faith in Jesus. The guilt gone, the weight, all the rest of it, the regrets, all of it put behind to say, man, I'm clean before God. I got a fresh start in life. He wants to heal you. He wants to be able to put that sensitivity. The Bible says we become one spirit with him. He wants to fill you with his Holy Spirit, his presence in your life, so that you can actually have a relationship with God. Not just know about God, he's always at a distance, but a knowing, no, he's with me. He's with me from day to day. And then to make you whole, to be able to restore whatever it is that life has been robbing from you. Maybe it's peace, maybe it's joy, you know, maybe it's peace of mind, maybe it's your hope, maybe it's anger, whatever it is that has been being robbed by you. God says, I want to make you whole. I don't want to leave you going around with the signs of a broken past. I want to change you. People couldn't even know that you'd been through that. And so I want to invite you to pray here in just a moment. I'm going to ask everyone if we just bow our heads and take that moment. And for those of you who are here and say, you know what, I don't know Jesus as my Lord and Savior, but I'm ready on this Thanksgiving weekend to say yes to Jesus, to begin to walk with him and to surrender my life to Christ, then I'm inviting you to pray with me. I just want to ask, and I'm going to give you a moment to think about this, but I just want to ask, are you ready to say yes to Jesus? I'm not asking you to say yes to religion. Matter of fact, just going to church every week won't get you into heaven. You can learn a lot, but God wants to have a relationship with you. What I'm asking you to do is to say, I'm willing to have that relationship. I'm willing to follow Christ with my life. And if that's you, and you're saying, Pastor, please include me in that prayer. I'm ready to make that commitment to Christ today. Then I just ask you, just give me a wave. Just give me a wave. Just say, hey, that's me. Include me in that prayer. Include me in that prayer. Thank you. Thank you, guys. Any others? Include me in that prayer, Pastor. Give me a wave. Awesome. Thank you, guys. Any others? I don't want to miss anybody. That's awesome. Thank you. Cool. Okay, we're going to pray with all of those who've... I just feel like there's some more. I'm just going to pause. Anybody else that I might have missed, just give me a wave. I don't want you to walk out of here going, oh, I should have prayed that prayer. Awesome. Thank you. Thank you. Any others? Cool. Let's pray with those who have raised their hand and said, you know what, I'm going to be praying that prayer. Let's pray. Can we do that together? Lord Jesus, I thank you that you gave your life to pay for me, to provide for my forgiveness. I ask you, Lord, to forgive my past. I invite you into my life. I'm confessing you as my Lord and my Savior, and I'm going to follow you with all of my heart. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. Let's give God a hand for that.
Thanks for listening to this week's message. If you enjoyed it, check out more messages like this at celebrationedmonton.com or on the Celebration Church mobile app. If you would like to partner with us financially, you can give on our website at celebrationedmonton.com. Come back next week to hear another great message.